Okay, so I'd like to welcome everyone here today. This is Dagan Smith, and I'm excited because we're getting ready to talk about one of my favorite topics. It's almost a topic that can be considered magic. There is anything magic to marketing and your business. It's what we're going to talk about today, and that is persuasion, salesmanship through the written word. And it's actually my extreme pleasure to have our special guest with us that we have here today, because first off, this is my first time getting to meet this gentleman, and I have total 100% respect, honor, and admiration for him, and feel like a student in the classroom myself for having him here today. But secondarily, he's one of the top copywriters in our industry, in the home business industry, and is responsible for, you know, some of the letters that have been some of the biggest blockbusters out there in the internet world. So letters like, for instance, if you've seen the magnetic sponsoring sales letter, we're talking to the guy that's behind what's out there right now. If you've seen the building on a budget, that sales letter. If you've seen Black Belt Recruiting, if you've seen the Carbon Copy Pro sales letter, he's been responsible for not only products that have been long-standing front-end products and just fulfilled the needs of home business entrepreneurs for years now. But he's also been lead copywriter for some of the largest systems and launches that have happened online. So I'm just excited to sit down and have a chance to hang out with Mr. Ben Settle here and chat about this copy topic and just have some fun with it, man. So thanks so much for hanging out with us for a few minutes. And I guess the first thing I'd just like you to start with is just, you know, if you don't mind, tell us how you got started and why you decided to focus on this thing called copy.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for that very nice introduction. It's probably the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. But no, I'm kidding you. It was a very nice introduction. And I appreciate you having me on. I really do. I've heard a lot about you too, and it's funny that we're just finally meeting now. You know,
crazy. Yeah.
Better late than never. But yeah, I got started in this kind of in a weird way. I'll give you the short version of it, so not to spend too much time on it. But it was probably back in around 2001. My wife and I had just been married for about 9 months, and we were managed to get ourselves in so much financial trouble. We were living in an office instead of an apartment and a little two-room office. She had a cleaning business that she had going, and I had a job at the time, but we got ourselves in way too much trouble financially, and we had to do something. So it was either move into this, like, $200 a month office or go move in with my mother, and, you know, there really was no choice. We took the office. And anyone who's married would probably understand that. But what happened was I was actually in network marketing at the time. I'm no longer in it, but I was a distributor at that time in a business, a company that's no longer around. And I just was really bad at it. I absolutely sucked at it. And this was before everybody was online. I mean, some people were online, but that's changed just in the last 9 or 10 years. And, you know, we were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We were walking around town trying to pass out recruiting tapes to local businesses. I mean, just every stupid, retarded thing that you could possibly do, we were doing it, just failing miserably. And being kind of stubborn, and I kept sticking with it anyway and just kept trying. And, you know, you're sitting here living in an office. You're trying to pretend like you know what you're doing. You're trying not to even let anybody know what you're doing and trying to put on a good face for the world and all that. And you just start sitting there, and eventually something happens, and it's about 3 a.m. in the morning. And I still remember it was yesterday. I'm just sitting there laying on the floor, blankets on the floor of this thing, you know, heart racing, just thinking, I feel like an absolute miserable loser here. I took my wife, married her. Now she's homeless with me, living in an office, and this stuff's just not working for me. So I, for whatever reason, I got up, and I just started putting around the office, and I had this book, and I still have it, and called The 7 Lost Secrets of Success by a guy named Joe Vitale. And anybody who's been around in internet marketing for a while probably is familiar with him.
Yep.
And it's a book about this old advertising guy, this old-time advertising guy named Bruce Barton. And Bruce Barton is kind of like the man back in the early mid 1900s, or not 1900s, the 20th century. And he he was known, basically a household name back then. This guy would be like, everybody knew who he was. He was behind a lot of presidents getting elected, and just everybody knew who he was. He was like an advertising god back then. Even the great John Cables apparently looked up to this guy for his training. So anyway, Joe Vitale wrote this really good book about him. And there's this, I was flipping through it, and there's a chapter in there where I guess some guy came up to Bruce Barton around 1919 or something. And I guess the guy was out of work, and he was down on his luck, and he didn't know what to do, so he came to Bruce Barton for some advice. And this guy apparently was a sales manager who had a talent for writing sales letters. That was his thing. So Bruce Barton showed him the window, and he goes, look at all those buildings out there. You know, you say you're supposed to be so great at writing sales letters. Why don't you write one to get yourself a job in one of those offices out there? And there was just something about that story that clicked with me. I don't know why it did at the time, but it did. And I got on the Internet, and I started looking up, sales letters, what does this mean? Copywriting. One thing led to another. I found Dan Kennedy and then Gary Halbert and, you know, all the big names that anybody in copywriting would probably be familiar with, and kind of just took off from there.
Awesome, 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 awesome. I mean, there's so many directions that we can go to, but I'd like to just start out by asking you where you went. In terms of, I'm a student too. I've read a lot of great stuff about copy from a lot of great people. Who would you say has resonated and affected your style the most? Who's been the most important sort of influence in how you write?
That is a really good question. It's actually two people. The first, as far as how I write, there's no question it was this guy, Gary Halbert.
Yep.
What was that?
I like him too.
Yeah, I mean, I used to sit there and, you know, he would tell people, you know, if you want to get good at this, write out sales letters by hand. And you know, I think a lot of people probably kind of thought he was joking. I took it literally, whether he was joking or not. And I mean, I wrote entire books he wrote out by hand. You know, I was just so into it. I just loved it. I'd get up every morning and I'd start copying out ads that he wrote by hand. And you really do kind of imbibe that, you know, the flow of everything and how to structure an ad and words to use. So just from a stylistic point of view, it would definitely be Gary Halbert. Just is the way he would tell stories, and he would use drama and just really smooth style. It's nothing like a lot of the stuff we see out there anymore. There's just a lot more elegance to it. He's the first guy. I would say the second person, and he's just as impactful, just in a different way, would be this guy named Gary Bensavenga. And Gary Bensavenga is universally considered the world's greatest copywriter. I mean, I doubt there'd be anybody, you know, even in the copywriting world where all the egos are really big, I don't think too many people would argue that he was the man. I mean, he just never lost. He 40 years of copywriting and, you know, his last 30 years in the game, it's like he never lost a big control at the big mailers where you have the best of the best constantly competing against each other. And just from him, it wasn't so much a writing thing, but the psychology of copywriting, because he really has a system down that it's nothing like what we're reading in any of the other books out there. It's very different. It's much more based on not so much making big claims and writing as much as it is how to structure things psychologically so that you're believed when you do say something. And there's a really big difference there. But those would be the two biggest. And maybe a third guy I could throw in, there'd be a guy named Eugene Schwartz, who wrote this book called Breakthrough Advertising, which is kind of a textbook. I mean, it's not as easy reading as most other copywriting books, but I've read it probably 15, 16 times, and it's just, you never keep extracting gold from it. It's that good.
Yeah, awesome. I've got an interview from Gary. I've got, Gary and then Gary. I've got Gary Halbert's Maximum Money and Minimum Time. I love to read that. So what I want to ask is, like, what are good Halbert letters to find in terms of sales letters?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. If you go to hardtofindads.com, it's hardtofindads.com. There's a bunch of Gary Halbert ads. It's a really big swipe file my friend Michael Senoff put together. And there's a lot of good ads in there. For example, there's a one where about, it's a weight loss ad where it's, you know, guy loses 600 pounds, now devotes his life to helping others get skinny is the headline. I mean, it's just a really good ad. One of the best ads that I would suggest everybody read of his, if you go to his website, which is thegaryhalbertletter.com, and he's long deceased now, but his site is still up, run by his sons. There is a, man, I'm not even sure how you would find it because there's so many there, but there's a sale, there's a newsletter he wrote that was really a sales letter for his stock market system. And if you can just, if you just kind of go through there, you'll find it. And it's real, it's just brilliant. He was selling this $3,750 stock market system. And, you know, at the time when I was reading it, I didn't even have like $37 in my name, so I couldn't buy it. But, man, he made you just want this thing so bad. And I use that sales letter as sort of a psychological template for a lot of ads I've written. But another good ad that he wrote that I like quite a bit is he wrote this book called The Boron Letters. And that's kind of a strange name, but it's because he wrote – it's a series of letters he wrote to his son Bond when he was in Boron Federal Penitentiary and just teaching his son marketing. And it's just, it's the most fascinating thing you can ever read, and they're all free at that site, that GaryHalbertLetter.com. I actually paid like $97 to get the handwritten version of it. It's really – that's one of the books I wrote out by hand, actually.
Oh, wow.
And it's everything you ever really need to know about direct marketing. I mean, it's all there.
I got to pick that one up. I don't have that one.
Oh, yeah, it's free. It's free on his site, too. I mean, but the problem with free is, you know, had I gotten that for free, I wouldn't have read it, you know, 20, 30 times, however many times I've read it, you know. So there's actually a lot of value in paying for this stuff, and it's kind of hard to when he gives everything for free. But, you know, take it for what it is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. The most impactful marketing experiences and breakthroughs I've had have been the times when I've given someone the most money. You know, and then
Hell yeah.
Taking their advice.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, I know some people really do have the mindset where they can take something that's free and extract all the gold from it. But if you pay like $5,000 for Gary Bensavenga's seminar, there's a good chance it's not going to sit on the shelf without being used a couple times.
Yeah, and so that was the next question is, Gary, I've got an interview between him and Ken McCarthy.
Yes, a great interview. That is an excellent interview. I have that too. In fact, I'm going to be talking to Ken tomorrow about some stuff, and I can't. You know, we'll end up talking about Gary for sure.
Yeah, but that's all I have of Gary's. Like, where else you find Gary Bensavenga stuff? Oh, he did have his website, the Bensavenga Bullets. I've been there before.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a hard URL to like spell and remember.
Okay.
So he changed it to marketingbullets.com.
Okay. So those are the two places people should go. And then we also have Eugene Schwartz. Marketing Breakthroughs is a hard book to find. Or, anyway, that's what it's called, right? It's a black book. Eugene Schwartz.
It's Breakthrough Advertising. Yeah,
Breakthrough Advertising, my bad. It's a black book. I have it. And I have to admit that I haven't read it yet. It's been sitting on my bookshelf for like 2 years now.
It's a dry book. I mean, it's dry compared to the stuff you and I are probably used to reading, but it's just so methodical. I mean, you go through this, and it's so much deeper than what we'll get from Gary Halbert teachings or anything else. It's very deep. It goes into things that, you know, you read over it four or five times. You actually have to read it, like, several times to really get a good feel for it. And then all of a sudden, things start just clicking for you one after another, and you kind of get understand why he was one of the greatest because he just had this down so well.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's interesting that the two folks you kind of chose to have as models because when I think about Gary Halbert, I think about just an amazing storyteller. Like, it's just fun to read what he writes,
yeah.
You know?
It is, yeah.
And I think of Gary Bensavenga, and I think of a guy that's very logical and methodical. And
yeah.
So you're saying, like, how do I take the storytelling and the methodical thing and put together so there's just, like, airtight logical argument, but it's exciting as heck to read, so you want to go through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm kind of extrapolating in my mind from these two forces coming together.
Yeah, it's a good observation because that's why I was saying in the beginning for actual writing, the actual writing part, I'm a big more of a Gary Halbert type as far as tone and flow and all that, but knowing the psychological side of just how, what a person's going through in their mind when they're reading your ad, that's where the Ben Savanga stuff in my mind really comes in handy. I mean, he knows how to close all those what he would call close off the doors of escape. You know, you're basically closing all the doors. They have to buy because you've closed off all their means of escaping not buying. And yeah, there's only so much I can go into that, only because I signed a non-disclosure when I bought his course. But it's if anybody, like, to me, it was the best investment. Well, I'd say it's one of the best investments I made in copywriting. There's another thing I bought that isn't really copywriting. It's email marketing from a guy named Matt Fury. Both of those two things have probably put more money in my pocket than any other two products I have.
Yeah, I got all Matt's stuff too. Awesome. So we're thinking along the same lines.
Yeah.
It's really fun though, because we evolve and all that sort of stuff. So guys, if you're listening in, stick with us, because we're just having like a fun copywriting talk. We'll get to like the like more how do you structure copy and do it the right way stuff in a minute. But we're having some fun, so just stick with us. Now I'm trying to remember where I was going with this. As I evolve as kind of a copywriter myself, it's fun trying to, like, I find myself learning more about storytelling, number one, and how do I tell a good story. And I also find myself thinking about how do I create a logical argument that can't be, you know, can't be refuted. For example, this quick example is I'm getting, and it's in my mind because I'm getting ready to do a product on running co-ops. So the whole point is to, in the letters, to talk about the story about how co-ops have changed my life and created duplication and all that sort of stuff. But the logical trail is you can't duplicate if you're one guy, and here's why. If you want to create duplication, you have to control these particular things. In order to control these things, you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, leading down to the path that, bang, you got to know how to do co-ops. And it's kind of fun when you start to play that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we were just talking about Eugene Schwartz there. That was one of the things in his Breakthrough Advertising book. And my mind's racing trying to remember how exactly he put it. But he would build an argument like that, and he would you'd start, and I'll just kind of put it in my own words, but you start with something they already accept and believe, and then you move it one step at a time toward where you want them to be. Because if they don't even know what a co-op is, or they don't think it's what, you know what I mean? You kind of make, and the example that I once gave somebody was, let's say you're talking to someone about, let's say you're in Amway. Now, when I was in Amway, it was like, if you mentioned, I wasn't in Amway, actually, my uncle was, but you know, anyone who mentioned Amway at that time, everybody just, like, left the room, you know. It's like, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not saying anything bad about Amway. It was just that was the positioning they had at the time. Maybe that's why they changed their name. But anyway, if you wanted to get someone into Amway, you wouldn't mention Amway or network marketing or anything. First, you'd start with the economy. The economy sucks, doesn't it? Well, yeah. Boy, it sure can't count on your job to be around, can you? Well, no. I mean, they're downsized people. Yeah, they'll downsize me if I don't do something. So a home business is a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And then you go into the next thing. Well, what kind of business would you do? You know, you can't really do a vending machine business. It costs too much money. Maybe you can do a franchise because, you know, then the system's already created for you and you just plug in. Yeah, that's a good idea. Too bad it's too expensive for most people to do. Well, that's true. I don't have that much money. Well, you know, there is a way to do a franchise where it doesn't cost us money. It's network marketing. Huh, I never thought of that before. Yeah, it's the same thing as a franchise. It's just that it's cheaper to get into. Well, that's cool. Of course, now you got to pick the right kind of network marketing company. You know, I mean, you just kind of walk them through it so that you wouldn't start with Amway or network marketing. You'd work up to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love what you just did there. So, guys, I hope you listened to that like 8 times because you can recruit people with what you just did.
Yeah, I wish I'd known that 10 years ago. I probably would have did better.
Yeah, but you know now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know we got a hunger to get to where we want. That was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, good reason to pick up Breakthrough Advertising, guys. I got it. Now I got a good reason to read it. You got a good reason to pick it up. So, let's talk about the network marketing mind. Because, right, we have to talk about if we're going to sell and or persuade a person on a concept in order to want to get our product, we have to know who they are. To you, who's the network marketer? Who's the home business entrepreneur? When you're sitting down to write to that guy, Who are you thinking about?
You know, that was different for every ad, and this is the thing that makes it kind of complicated, I think. It really just depends, because if you're writing to Mike Dillard's list, for example, you're writing to someone who's already in network marketing, who's been around maybe and they've been exposed to certain concepts. But, for example, if I'm writing to another market where they've never heard of network marketing, but you're trying to sell them into an idea like we just kind of went through, it really just depends who you're going after. If you're going after the mind of someone who's already in network marketing, it's much easier to sell to them. If you're going after the skeptical guy out there who just lost his job or he's on the brink of losing his job and his 401k got wiped out and his banker screwed him and his the mortgage company screwed him and everybody screwed him and he's super skeptical and you really have to get past all that, you know, so it kind of depends which one you're talking about.
Okay, so let's go with the network marketing, the person that's familiar with network marketing that's looking to get better. We're looking
okay.
For someone online doing the magnetic sponsoring thing or the, you know, recruiting without picking up the phone thing.
Okay, so yeah, so that person, you know, let's just say that if we're talking about someone who really is, they're just kind of familiar with the stuff, but they haven't had a lot of success yet, you know, it's really easy because they know they haven't made any money yet, and that's their big thing. They're really mad. See, they have to justify in their mind why they're even in network marketing, and it's really hard to do that when you're not making any money.
Yeah, I remember.
So that's kind of the emotion to go on, and that it can almost become your headline. You know, here's why you're not making any money in network marketing, or would you like to finally make money in network marketing, or here's how, name a celebrity type person in the industry, here's how he makes money in network marketing. You see, it's more like they're looking for a reason to stay in, and they're looking for something that'll actually work for them because they've been buying one product after one product, and chances are they're not consuming the products they're buying, and that's kind of a whole other ball of wax in and of itself. But there's a lot of wisdom in starting the funnel outright. If somebody's going to be, for example, an affiliate of these products that, for example, Magnetic Sponsoring sells, you know, it's one of these things. This is my personal opinion. I'm not, saying they're doing anything wrong or anything. I have not seen their test results or anything. But I would just try to get them in with one product first. And I wouldn't sell them anything until they've consumed that product. And it's kind of I'm opening a can of worms here that gets very deep. So I'll try to kind of keep this, I'll keep this to the point where I don't actually confuse everyone and myself.
Yeah.
But I was just talking to this guy named Sean D'Souza, and he's just an absolute marketing genius. And what he teaches is something called sequential selling. And it's based on the way all of us buy things. And we've done this, and it's the way we do everything. I mean, for thousands of years, this is how we do things. And he uses a karate school example. You don't start out coming into the dojo and just, I want a green belt. No, you have to get the white belt first, and you have to work your way up one belt at a time. They don't just say, here's a black belt. You know, you kind of have to consume each belt along the way in a very specific order, and it keeps you in the system. Another example he uses, churches, like the Catholic Church. You can't really get, you're not going to do Holy Communion until you've been baptized. You know, you're not going to get married until you've done Holy Communion. And I don't know the exact details of it, but it's a very specific sequence and process. And in business, it's very important to do that. Think of the Star Wars movies. You know, you got Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. If somebody comes in and Empire Strikes Back has never seen Star Wars, they're going to be confused. The information's not going to make a lot of sense to them, and they're probably going to go, say, well, I'm not going to bother with these other two. I'm confused. Well, that's how it is when people are buying. And the reason this ties into copywriting is because a lot of this comes down to knowing where they're at in the process right now. You know, I wouldn't start them out with a, traffic secrets course. I would start them out with magnetic sponsoring manual first because that's kind of the foundation. I wouldn't even sell them the other stuff personally. But, I'm not going to tell anyone not to do it because I haven't seen all their test results, but you don't start them out with PPC thing before they haven't even figured out what attraction marketing is.
Mm-hmm. They got to get the concept before they can get the first concept. You got to learn math, basic arithmetic before you can learn algebra.
That's a very good example of it, actually. That's probably better than the ones I just gave. But yeah, exactly. And they also just get confused, and then they'll walk away. And even if they buy, they're not going to consume it. If they don't consume it, they're not going to buy your next product.
Yeah, I mean, and not to plug my own stuff, but, like, that's kind of why I do my maximum leverage program the way I do it is, even though it can be overwhelming for people because there's a ton of stuff there. It's like a library. It literally is like a library. But you can start at the beginning, and then the end is there too. So, I don't know. I'd rather put a person in a place where they can learn everything and stick around than, you know, one, two, or three, and then differentiate price based on access. But that's just, we're not even talking about copy anymore. We're talking about other stuff.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense. It's just one of these things where once someone gets their mind wrapped around it and they realize if they like that first product you've sold them, the copy on the second product almost doesn't even matter. They've already decided they're going to buy your next one.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think once they know and trust you, it changes the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're so right with that first product idea, and I think that's why the magnetic sponsoring product was, and still to this day is very successful, is it creates an epiphany in a person's mind, an idea they didn't have before, and now there's a world that's open to them that they didn't quite get. They kind of knew it was there, but they didn't understand, now they do. And that creates all these other, a new perspective, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the perfect way to bring a person into your world as a consumer and a customer. So smart stuff. So I agree with you on the guy that's been in but not making any money. Most powerful headline I've used there is just how to guarantee you make money in network marketing. You know,
sometimes you just gotta say it, you know.
Yeah, call a spade a spade. Now, what about the other guy? You know, the guy that's just opportunistic. Maybe he's a little bit negative towards network marketing, but he's trying to make money.
Yeah, that's where it gets really tricky. I'm a big fan of actually going after that guy because that's the guy, if you bring him in and he's being inundated with all these other options, if you're the one that brings him in and you show him that it's possible and you help him actually get to that point, he's yours for life. And you know, the guy who's already in network marketing might have already hopped around two or three things, and that's not, you know, they found this out in the direct mail world that you kind of want to, you don't really want to mail stuff necessarily to people who have bought too many of the same kind of products if you're trying to sell them a continuity product, because they usually don't stick around very long. But if you go to someone who really hasn't found a home yet, that's the person that you can give them a home, and if you make it a good experience for them, they're not going anywhere. So that person, I think, you know, that's the person that I personally like to write to. And the way I approach it is you really have to do one of these market analyses before writing a word of copy. I mean, this will change anybody's business, like, overnight. And the beauty of this is there's a book called The Ultimate Sales Letter from a guy named Dan Kennedy.
Yep.
And he gives a very small version of what I use away for free. It's like 10 questions, but, man, if you can answer these 10 questions about your market, it's almost impossible not to sell them anything, because even if you bumble up the writing part, it doesn't matter. You're approaching all their hot buttons. And so every time that I sit down to do one of these things, I go through one of these market analyses. So if I'm going after network marketing people, I would do this. I would actually go talk to network marketing people and find out the answers to these questions and what keeps them up at night, you know, what are the three emotions that are, you know, the three negative emotions that are affecting them the most? You know, what did they just buy? What is the most recent product they bought, and why? Why did they buy that? I mean, that alone is a question that can, you'll find out what they've already bought. You know, you can look at exactly what that ad says, and you'll see the appeals.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, I agree with you. When I've done trainings on copy and stuff, I use that exact, those exact questions from Dan Kennedy's book myself, and I use them a lot myself.
Yeah, you should see Ben Savanga's course, his big $5,000 course. He's got like a 20-page version of it. I mean, it's so detailed, you know. You're just like, oh, man. But you can see why he was so good, you know. He just knew his customers so well.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. I mean, that's the same way Kennedy speaks about it, is, you know, like, the guy that gets the high conversion rate, he's not, like, magic. He's just, like, in bed with his customers. He knows exactly who they are, what they think, and, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's this guy, his name is Doug Deanna, and he's another real top direct mail copywriter. And I had a chance to interview him for a book I wrote, and he was talking about, you know, he writes the investors. You know, that's his main thing, is the financial investment newsletters. And he's like, you know, I know my customer. He goes, guess what? The market went down 300 points. You think that didn't change the way I wrote my email to him the next day? You know, while most people are using swipe files, he's actually studying his market, and he'll tell you, I'm not the best copywriter as far as writing. He goes, I just know my customer better than everyone else, and that's why he wins all the time.
Yeah, know your customer. Awesome. So let me ask you this. What's the difference between writing email copy for you, sales copy, and let's say like, well, let's just keep it simple and go there. I don't want to take it any farther.
Okay.
But if you're thinking about writing an email to emails copy compared to a sales letter as copy, what's the difference for you in your mind?
Well, email is email is actually something I've been slowly specializing in. In fact, at my website, I'm mostly just talking about email now. I don't even talk about other stuff. This is sort of what I specialize in. And just this weekend,
what's your website? Let them, because I want to go over there and pick up your email stuff. I'm gonna
email. Oh yeah, it's bensettle.com.
Oh, just Ben Settle. All right.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. That's and you know, if you opt in there, you'll get a free issue of this $97 a month newsletter I'm going to be launching next week. And that alone, I mean, you could just take it and never run out of email ideas, pretty much. But there's a lot of differences. You know, email is way more informal. I mean, I love email. I have found over the last couple of years, because I've written like thousands of emails just since the last couple of years, and I know you're a big email guy too, and I've gotten to the point, and it isn't necessarily going to be this way for everybody, but I can't even beat my own sales letter controls anymore because the emails are doing all the work.
Yep.
It's almost like you just send them to an order form, you know. It doesn't matter.
I agree. For me, I mean, this is kind of an epiphany for me, is if I do my work via the email, if I'm willing to communicate daily, it doesn't matter if I have a 24-minute sales video or a 50-minute sales video. They'll eventually consume that video enough to buy if they're interested, because I'll get them to.
Yeah, every day you can come at them with a different angle. We just did, you know, everyone listening to this, probably a lot of them are familiar with Jim Yagi. He's a friend of mine. And
yep.
Him and I we're joint venturing with this other guy in weight loss right now. And, he was just blown away because we did this launch last night, you know, and it's just like we had way more sales than any of us were expecting. And, you know, yeah, the sales letter, you know, I'll say it's one of my better ones, but a lot of these people were sold just because of the pre-launch process. I just sat there for 2 weeks and mailed them every day with interesting information that teased them about the book to get them onto a sub list. That sub list was just, I mean, I just hammered it all weekend, you know, and these were people who raised their hand and they said, I'm very interested in this book, and they bought. And a single sales letter, you know, it's good to have it, but I mean, we didn't test what I'm about to say, but I bet you if we just put an order form up, we still would have done pretty well.
Yeah, and that's so interesting to me because I know that even though I've written a lot of copy myself, I hold no sort of reservations towards writing an email. I could, you know, you could wake me up in the middle of the night and say, hey, write an email for tomorrow, and I could write something that would help people, you know?
Yeah.
Like yesterday's email was, I just had my man boobs removed, so it was man boobs, Percocet, and $3,000, ? I'd open that email, right? You know?
Yeah, anything that's different like that. I mean, all you get these days is 24 hours left or, you know,
yeah.
It's always the same gimmick and bull crap. And just, you know, I look at it as talk radio. It's like you got to be a talk radio guy. You got your own audience, and the talk radio guy is not going to say the same thing every day. He's going to be interesting and fun and make it worth someone's while. Even if they don't buy it today, you could have just set up the sale for 2 weeks from now for that person because he just doesn't have the money today. You know what I mean? They're just, once they are into you, that's it. They're not going to buy from anyone else.
I totally agree. But it's interesting because I haven't, like I said, no reservations for the email thing. But to write a sales letter, it's like, it's a Herculean task for me sometimes. I can't just sit down and pump out a sales letter and feel good about it. Like, I've got to, like, get everything right and then get the feeling right and then go and do it.
Oh yeah, I write sales letters all the time. And to me, it's like I'd rather just write emails. And in fact, the next sales letter I'm doing, which is for this email newsletter I'm going to launch, it's not even a sales letter. It's just a freaking glorified frequently asked questions sheet, you know?
Yeah.
Why mess around with it? You know, the emails are really doing the selling. It's kind of pointless almost. I'm not saying everybody should do that. I'm just saying for that particular product, you know.
But I think the perspective is what's important. It's like, are you putting too much weight on your ability to write that perfect sales letter when maybe if you just created more trust and entertained more, you could do even better with a worse sales letter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's all about, is creating that trust and just giving them a fun, interesting thing where they tune into your email every day because they want to. It's certainly not an imposition on them, and they don't think it's spam. They look forward to it. They probably would get mad if they didn't see your email because they're used to it now.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what happens. Like when I'm, for instance, going on vacation or sick or for something, that's what people will do. Where'd you go?
Where are you?
You okay, man? Are you okay? So I totally attest to what you're saying on that one. All right, so emails are conversational. Sales copy is a little bit more formal. But it seems like at this point you've written a lot of copy. What is your take on an actual sales letter? I mean, I can see its importance isn't as high as I would perceive it to be right now. But what's your take on what a person should have for that space?
Well, you know, I do think it's important. I don't want to give the impression that I don't. I do think it's important. And, for example, a couple years ago I used to do some work in the golf industry, and I wrote this sales letter that did really well, and then for some weird reason I don't quite fathom to this day, they took it down and just put an order form up. And it still got sales because they were doing daily emails and blogs. But when we put the sales letter back up, obviously the sales shot up way farther. But so I don't mean to like give it the impression that it's not important. But, you know, I can make this real easy for everyone listening to this right now. I mean, anyone who's struggling, like, how do you sit down and do one of these things? Well, I think the reason why everyone has trouble with it is because a lot of copywriting teachers and coaches, and I don't mean any disrespect to anyone in specific out there, I'm just saying in general, like to make it real complicated. You know, maybe that's what they think will help sell their stuff, but I like to make it simple. I think the more simple you can make it, the less moving parts, the better it'll be. And so here's the formula. Here's the secret men settle formula for writing a sales letter. And it's very simple, okay? So someone listening to this is like, oh, there's got to be more to it than that. No, this is it. This is what I do every time. Headline, opening paragraph, story, bullets, close. There's your whole structure.
So I like that. I like that because essentially that's what it comes down to, right?
Well, if you look at all the magnetic sponsoring ads I've done.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's all they are. That's all I did. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you know, the devil's in the details, but that's it. I mean, that's your whole thing. You don't have to. You know, you'll know if you're going off course, if you're going off a tangent. You'll know because, well, shoot, all I do is write a story right here. Okay, now bullets. Okay, here's the close. You know, here's out of order. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Headline, opening, story, bullets, close. Four
yeah.
parts. You can do it.
Yeah, I mean, that 99% of the time that'll do it. Now, there are some products where that may not work, but, like, if you're doing a special offer or something, that's fine. But, you know, for info products and even for selling a network marketing opportunity, quite frankly, you can do that. I mean, I've used this thing over and over and over. It's just the most simple. Really, I learned it just from writing out those Halbert ads by hand. That's all he was seen to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the story. Like, where do you find an interesting story? How do you get better at the story stuff?
Well, that's a good question.
So let's talk about
too.
Yeah. Let's talk about story, man, because that's one of my favorite things these days. What do you think about that part?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I think the story actually can carry the sale on its own, and I'll give a perfect example of this. One of my favorite movies from the 80s, and maybe I'm dating myself a little here, is Top Gun. Right? I mean, it's just a cool movie. I thought. Well, I wasn't the only one who thought it was a cool movie because after that movie came out, Navy and Air Force recruitment went up so drastically that they were putting recruitment people in the theaters, the movie theaters, and the sales of the same sunglasses that Tom Cruise wore in that movie went up, and the same jacket he wore, the sales went up. Now, there's no sales pitch for joining the armed forces in that movie. There's no sales pitch call to action to buy those sunglasses. It was just the story that made people want to go freaking join the Air Force, you know? So that is, if that doesn't convince anyone that a story alone can do it, nothing will.
Yeah, it's a very simple way to think about it. Yeah, absolutely. And there's lots of situations like that with movies, right? The story gets you. And I'm so much more into story now when it comes to movies. Like, I'm a huge Transformers fan.
Yeah, me too.
And, I got a tattoo on my arm. Autobots and Decepticons on my left forearm.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, do it, man. We'll be twins. But the last movie, absolutely horrible. No story.
It sucked.
No story whatsoever, you know?
Even the second one didn't have much of a story, but it was sure was entertaining. In fact, I think the second one is a good template for an email.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. 100% fun. Story, you know, whatever, but there's cool stuff, and it was funny at points, and it was, you know, it moved well, you know?
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of writing what I call popcorn emails, which is a takeoff of popcorn movies, you know? They shouldn't be deep. And I know we're going back to sales letters, but I think it's the same thing. I think sales letters and emails both should be like popcorn movies. You know, you don't want them to have to try to struggle to know what's going on. It should be very simple, and it should be a fun ride. Even a sales letter should be a fun ride. I mean, and that's where that story comes in. And we'll take the magnetic sponsoring ad because that's fresh in my mind for some reason, even though it's like 4 years old. But I just remember it really well. All I did was tell Mike's story. You know, the more heaven and hell the story where you went from A to Z, you know, you were down and out to successful, that's a story everybody can relate to. That's a story everybody wants to hear. It's in every movie we see practically in one form or another. And that's a good way to write a story. And it doesn't have to be about you personally. It could be about someone else, and it just inspires people. And I'll give another example of that. I used to write a lot of ads for self-defense in the self-defense market. And I was running out of ideas because I was writing all these ads for this one client, and I ran out of his personal story. I ran out of ideas. So what do? Well, for example, I wrote an ad for a product that shows you how to fight like inner city police officers. You know, it's like dirty fighting tricks and all that. And that story. So what am I going to do? This guy wasn't a cop. You know, I couldn't tell from his point of view. So what do? I remember the TV show Cops. And I remember thinking, gosh, how do these, like, little skinny, dweeby cops, you know, somehow they command respect and attention when they're arresting someone, and it doesn't make any sense because this guy could pulverize this cop if he wanted to. But he did. So I thought, well, I'm going to tell a story about how a cop, and I called him like a Barney Fife, you know, like a skinny Barney Fife commands respect. I can't remember what the headline was, but it was up. If you go to lawdogtactics.com, you can read the sales letter.
Law Dog Tactics?
Yeah, and I can't remember the headline off the top of my head, but it's
awesome.
It's there. And I just told the story of this puny, skinny cop who, during a riot, he somehow ended up on his own. And 5 minutes later, he had all these rioters on their knees, basically in line while he was calling for backup and didn't even draw his gun. Now, that was a fictional story in a sense, but it was based on real events I had seen. My dad was a cop, so I'd heard stories from him, and you know, it was based on a lot of different things. I didn't say that cop used the product. I didn't say that this product had anything to do with this cop. I just told the story to make the point of here's how badass cops can be, and here's what I train cops when they come to me for training, you know, so it all kind of jived together.
Yeah. Awesome. So the whole point here is be creative.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a personal story, but you don't want to ever lie about the product. See, this is where people go wrong. They'll like, and there's this guy named John Caples who anyone in the geeky copywriting world definitely know who he is. He wrote an ad called "They Laughed When I Sat Down at the Piano, But Then I Began to Play." This ad is in every copywriting book as an example of a great ad, and it is a good ad, but I think it would actually land the guy in jail because of the FTC, because you can't lie about somebody using your product, you know? You can't say, it'd be like me, I have a copywriting book that I sell, and it's pretty expensive, and it would be like me making up a story saying, here, this guy just increased his response by 300% using my book when he didn't really exist. So you don't want to do that, but... You know, it's got to be a real story if you're going to talk about your product. But you can inspire people to want to know what's in your product by using stories about other people.
So how even skinny Barney Fife cops single-handedly control and dominate violent criminals, gangbangers, and other cold-blooded killers without even drawing their guns. There we go.
And you know what? That reminds me of another ad I wrote for that guy. And this could actually help someone in the network marketing industry for sure. if you go to GorillaGrappling.com, I think that's the way, that's another sales letter for that guy. I had to take a concept, grappling, and I know you were in wrestling, as I saw it in your picture.
Yep.
Okay, now, you know, wrestling and grappling to the average person is about, I mean, it's a most boring thing for them to want to learn. I mean, they want to learn ninja stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, who wants to learn grappling, you know? So you have to make it sexy somehow, right? So I did some historical research, and I found out that back in the day, gladiators in ancient Rome, some of those gladiators were thrown to the lions, and they would kill the lions with their bare hands using grappling. So I told the story of that to make grappling sound cool before I even introduced grappling.
See, and that's even awesome. Like, I mean, just getting creative in that way, it makes, yeah. See, and I think if people could just take a little bit of that energy that you're sharing right now on that stuff, dude, that's genius.
Well, I mean, I just researched, too. I mean, it was just, this is, it's just digging, and you'll find it. I mean, gosh, network marketing, think of all the historical examples of businesses that have failed and that have lasted. I mean, you could tell a story about any successful business and relate it to network marketing. I mean, for the most part.
Or any successful person. You know
or any
I mean?
Successful person, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there we go.
I told the story of Bruce Barton earlier. I mean, that was what got me going. I mean, you know, I give it all to him on that.
Yeah, so we just stole your excuse for my story's not good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
So what's a good story telling, writing book or resource you would give people? Because I'm reading a bunch of it. A bunch of that stuff right now myself.
Let's see. You know, here's the thing with that. I actually learned all of my storytelling I learned from reading Gary Halbert ads. I never really read a book on the subject because
okay. There
is a book out there that's like 100 ways to tell stories and all that, but I boiled it down to about 6 that I can use pretty much all the time. And so those are the ones I pretty much usually focus on.
Awesome. All right, so let's talk about we talked about the headline, we talked about the story. The opening is just how to get a person interested. I mean, I think people can figure that out.
Yeah. Well, if nothing else, just say if then. This is a classic Halbert. If you want X, here's how you get it. You know, think of what they want. If you'd like to XYZ, then this letter will show you how. I mean, it can be as simple as that.
I remember when I used to have to call people on the phone, I'd have to say, if I could show you a way to recruit 5 to 10 people per week, would that be interesting enough for you to, you know, share 5 minutes with me on the phone? Then
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. So that's opening. Bullets. I think there's a little bit of magic in bullets, though. What's your take on? Because with sales videos, you know, bullets aren't. We're not doing as many bullets. You know, we're doing things different, but bullets are classic. They're never going away.
Well, this is a very good question, and this, you know. You'll notice I give pretty much all the credit to other people. I'm not a real original thinker on a lot of this stuff. I'm a good student, I guess. But we mentioned Ken McCarthy earlier, and he taught this in his copywriting course, and some other copywriters teach this too. It's not like he invented it. He says everything is a bullet when you're doing your research, and you want to write everything in bullet form. Write your bullets first, and I do this. So you're going through a product, and whether it's going to be a video, a podcast, or a sales letter, whatever it is, write everything, all the interesting things, extract out of it. Anything that kind of makes you go, huh, you know, just keep your antenna up. And anything that's interesting or that you can put a little twist on, just write it down in bullet form. Doesn't mean you're going to use bullets, but you have all the raw material for all the dramatic points of interest about your product there, and you can work those into your script or in your sales letter, in a PS or anywhere. It doesn't matter. You know, your headline is just your best bullet.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I used to, like, I mean, honestly, I would just steal the formatting from all the other network marketing letters, like definitely the magnetic letter back in, like, 2005. I stole the, you know, like, I didn't steal the exact ones, but the formats.
Yeah.
And what else? There's another couple products that aren't out there anymore, but I can remember going to the sites, pulling out all the bullets and taking the formatting and kind of putting my own stuff in there. So between those two things, you got bullets.
Oh, yeah, and just it's all about research, you know, just going and pulling out the interesting stuff.
So bullets, close. How do we close them down? How do we tell them that, well, they're excited because they got the story. Now they got all the little interesting pieces in the bullets, and we're closing it down. They're ready to buy. How do we get them to buy?
Well, that's just at that point, if you've done your job right, if you've done the story right, especially, and the bullets will use curiosity in a lot of ways to get people, you know, interested. It can be as simple as here's how to order, just put the link. And I want to go back up on bullets just real quick, because I think this will make more sense if I explain this. A lot of people think that the most important thing to get someone to buy is self-interest. You know, I mean, that's logically, we would all just think that. But I've been told by one of Gary Halbert's pupils, the guy who actually, you know, used to write ads with him, a guy named Scott Haynes, he told me actually curiosity is the most important. It's like, if you can make enough curiosity in your ad, you're going to sell whatever you have to sell, because people will buy just because of that one bullet. They have to know how the hell that cop, you know, got everybody to do it.
You know,
So if you did all that right, the close is done. They want to be shown a link. I mean, they want to know, and you just make it real clear. So the book or whatever the product is costs X, Y, Z and comes with this guarantee. If you have some bullets or if you have some bonuses, that's fine. You add that in. Here's how to order. And you literally use those words, here's how to order, and put a link.
I like the curiosity on the bullets. That's the guys, write that down, golden, because I think when I think back to whenever I do a lead capture page, it's always just a headline, and the headline's just curiosity, and then there's an opt-in box. That's what gets the highest conversion out of anything I've ever tested.
I had this capture page up for a while in a different market, because I was selling to people with prostate problems, and I just had this stupid bullet, Yoda's sex secret. You know? Pretty sure. I mean, the reaction I would get to people, like, I have to know what that means. You know?
Yeah.
You know, just stupid crap like that. It's fun. It's interesting. It stands out. And I mean, you know, you have to tailor it to your market, of course, but it's an example of the curiosity factor. You know, someone who's got problems in that area, Yoda, this like little scrangly, you know, dude, what's he going to teach me about that? And so.
But no, but it's awesome, because it's literally, if you just sit there and you write enough bullets, create enough curiosity, and put an opt-in box underneath of them and test them all, you don't even have to, like, know which one's the best. They'll tell you.
Yeah,
you know?
That's very true. And it's weird. A lot of times I find that, and this isn't always the time, but sometimes putting less bullets helps the conversion better than more, and it's always different with everything. And it's just an endless game, as you would know. It's just constantly doing it. It's like a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun. Copies, it's the thing that if once I get the idea and then I move on it immediately, I'm in it and I'm having fun. But if I lose the feeling, or I don't get the feeling and I know I need to do it, it's hard. It's like the hardest thing.
It is, and I hope that that little structure, you know, helps keep people at least on track when it's getting tough. I mean, at least you know where you are in the process, and that's the hard thing. People just kind of go off in tangents, and it's hard. If you don't really do it a lot, or you haven't read a lot of ads, it is tough. I mean, but just that'll hopefully keep people on track.
Yeah, and but here's the thing that I hope people can take from me and my like little statement. It's ultimately, when I have those feelings about, you know, excitement or drudgery, it's ultimately a self-reflection on me wanting to impress myself with my copy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, did I write it well enough? Did I write it good enough for me to say, oh, man, you're so smart? You know? That's what I'm trying to get to. When that's not even important. So, and I think that's where a lot of people come from with their copy. They want to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But only the market can tell you.
Well, this is a problem I've had. One of the reasons I'm sliding out of doing any client work is because I'm finding it so much more rewarding to do my own stuff, because that's one of the things, you know. People kind of have their own idea of how things should be, but it may not be what the market wants, and then you got to fight them on that. But if everybody just looks at it from their market's point of view, not their own, you know, even go so far as to find someone in your market who's not advertised trained at all, and show them your ad, and that's the best feedback you can get. Screw these critiques from other marketers. I mean, look, I'm an advertising critic. You know, don't send it to me. Send it to somebody in your market, because that will, if they say, man, how do I get this? You know, you got something. If they, this is interesting, then you know you probably missed the mark, and you can ask them, well, what is it, you know, what would you like to see in an offer like this? What would get you to want to buy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Another killer point. Another killer point. Don't show it to us. Show it to someone that got the problem.
Oh, man, it's night and day. I mean, honestly, I don't even send my ads to, like, I'm in two mastermind groups. I rarely send them anything. I mean, they're not that I don't respect them, but they're not in the market.
Yeah. Yeah, and then people, outside the market, one of the biggest mistakes I'll make, and I'll say this blatantly, is letting people outside of the marketplace critique my stuff to the point where they've actually done revisions. And you're just like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, man, and it's rampant because it's easier to send it to our peers than to find some stranger. But really, it's easier in some ways because they don't know you're supposed to be some advertising guy. You know, I don't feel like, they don't know if I'm in copywriting or not. I'm just asking them, hey, can you look at this? Like, family members are good for this. Hey, this is a friend's ad. He wrote this. What do you think? You know, they don't have to know you did it. And then there's your ego, or my ego, and nobody's ego is, attacked at all. It's just cold and impersonal, as it should be.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, man, I think we did good. What do you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, fun. Where do people go to buy? Well, first off, they go to Ben Settle to opt in and get your popcorn emails on a daily basis and learn some stuff about email copy and real copy. Where do they buy your big course?
Well, the thing I don't sell the other courses to the general public anymore. I'm launching a newsletter come August. Well, I don't know when everyone's going to be listening to this, but mid-August I'm launching a print newsletter about email marketing, and that's the only thing someone can buy right now. After they buy that, I've got some other courses, but I'm trying to practice what I preach about the sequential selling. I want to bring them in at the right time. In the right way. I'm something I'm testing. I mean, I always do it this way, but for now, that's kind of how it's set up.
All right, so that's the deal. You gotta get in with Mr. Miyagi on the window waxing, on the the car waxing phase.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
All right.
You start doing the super kicks. Yeah.
Cool, man. Thank you so much. So, guys, go to bensettle.com, and that's two T's. Opt in, get his emails, and buy his email newsletter, and look at all of our different stuff. Look at my stuff in terms of daily emails, his, Matt Fury's, John Olenis, and all these guys that I brought up. And do you have anyone else that that's pretty good on the daily emails?
Well, I wish Matt Fury was still doing daily emails, and he's
just kind of
all over.
Yeah, he's weird now, in my opinion, in terms of that. It's like just testimonials all the time, not like.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know very many people who do them very often, but there are some lists to be on. I would say for now, just the guys you mentioned, just to keep it simple for people. And when they come to my list, I'll mention people sometimes, but there's just not, I wish there were more lists of people doing daily emails. I really do. I think this industry could use good daily emails more often.
Yeah. We all could. I mean, like I can't get. Like, hey, buy my thing 50 times. I've unsubscribed from everybody's thing like that. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
If there's something cool, oh, I know one. What's his name? I'll look it up and I'll include a link for them later if I can find it. But if there's something cool every day, like if someone's gonna say, hey, I just got man boob surgery, that's wow.
Awesome.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just no matter what mood you're in, you read it, and it just makes you bond with them a little bit more every day, and you're more likely to buy from them.
Yeah, it's like it's a real person. It's a real person, and not only that, but like I might have been scared to say I had man boobs, and or even like brought it up, but he's just like, bang, there it is.
No, I just told everyone the other day I had shy bladder for many years. I mean, I turned it into an email.
Yeah.
I one time talked about how I farted in study hall in eighth grade. I mean, just the stupidest stuff. But everything that happens to you, good or bad, is an email.
Evicting crackheads. That's the status quo. The standard control for me. So, awesome. Thank you so much, man.
All right.
I'm sure this will be the beginning of an amazing friendship, lots of discussions like this, and I'm just happy to have met you.
Yeah, you too, man. It's been a lot of fun.